Female Eye Film Festival this July 18th to the 21st. One of Movie Maker Magazine's top 50 film festivals worth the entry fee, the Female Eye Film Festival programs 4 days of summer thrills at TIFF Lightbox with special opening day screenings at the Paradise Theater. Beat the heat while enjoying award-winning films from North America and around the world. All the films are directed by women. Go to the FemaleEyeFilmFestival.com for a chance to win passes and more.
From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The More the Merrier with Donna G. Coming up on today's show, the focus is women in film, more precisely those behind the lens and scenes of the Female Eye Film Festival. Up first is my chat with festival founder Leslie Ann Coles about the growth of the festival and some of the films that will be screening July 18th to 21st. Afterwards, we'll segue into my brief chat with Ilse Moreno, the director of the short film The Canadian Dream, which screens in the Ontario Filmmaker section of the Female Eye Film Festival. Ilse joins me during her break on set, so heads up about any background noise you hear during our conversation. Later on in the show, I'll be sticking with the female perspectives with a broadcast of my TIFF 2020 interview with award-winning director Tiffany Hsieun about her attempt to uncover the mystery of her mother's past in the documentary Sing Me a Lullaby, available on CBC Gem and other streaming platforms. You're listening to The More the Merrier with Donna G on CIUT 89.5 FM. My guest today is Leslie Ann Colt, who is the founder of the Female Eye Film Festival. Leslie Ann, welcome back to The More the Merrier.
Hi, nice to be back.
I can't believe it's been a year since we last spoke.
I know. Time is just flying by, isn't it? I mean, I can't believe it's been a year as well.
So I understand that, for those of you who are wondering, the Female Eye Film Festival runs from July the 18th to the 24th, and it is one of the only festivals dedicated to promoting films by and about women. And this year, it's going to be in two locations, the Paradise Theater on Bloor Street West and the TIFF Lightbox, King Street West. So, Leslie Ann, let's just dive right in. And I want to know what's different with this year's festival besides the new venue?
Well, yeah, we've been at TIFF Lightbox before, but it's our first time at the Paradise on Bloor. It's gorgeous. So I'm really excited about being there. We're only at the Paradise on the 18th on opening day. We have films all day running through the evening. And then we also open at TIFF Lightbox on the 18th in the evening at 7 p.m. with an opening gala feature, Shelbourne from the UK. And we're actually running through to Sunday. So we're the 18th to the 21st. And what's really new this year is we're launching the coming of the Writers Lab Canada. So the Writers Lab in New York is supported by Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman. It's run by Elizabeth Caden and Nitza Willen. And it's a wonderful, wonderful script development incubator program for women 40 plus. And women and non-binary who are 40 plus. So it was to create space, and they're celebrating their 10th anniversary. So at the Female Eye, we're going to be paying tribute to the founders and the co-producers of the Writers Lab with a Maverick tribute. It's an In Conversation With Elizabeth and Nitza. And then on Sunday, they're actually going to be delivering a masterclass, a screenwriter's masterclass. And at the same time, this weekend, we're launching an open call for screenwriters, features, and pilots for consideration for the inaugural Writers Lab Canada, which will take place in December. in Toronto for Canadian screenwriters. So we're really excited about that.
And your script reading is back this year as well.
Script reading is back. We have two full days, the 18th and the 19th, of screenplays that have been selected in competition that are read by professional actors, and industry delegates provide critical feedback. It's a really great room. It's at the Annex Hotel in the Wine Bar, and it's open to the public and it's free. And what's really exciting about it is the writers really get a lot out of the readings because they're hearing the dialogue read for the first time often, and they're getting feedback not only from the industry delegates, but they're also getting responses from other writers in the room. So it's a very communal, it's like they form a tribe, really. Every year the script writers, they form their own little clique. And then, of course, they join us for film screenings and all the rest of it. So it's wonderful.
Well, it seems from the beginning, the female eye has always been about developing the industry for women. What are some of the changes you've seen over the years, and where is it stalling?
In terms of gender parity, and terms of equality, and in terms of reference? Well, I'll tell you, over the last couple of decades, since the festival was founded, we've seen a lot more film festivals dedicated to females. You know, the films are still being kind of marginalized, or I think the reason that is, actually, if I may say, is because when a woman writes and directs a film, or a female writes and directs a film, it's kind of perceived as a type of film, like a story stereotyped as a chick flick. And for years, we struggled against that. We fought against that stereotype. So I think it speaks to a couple of things. One, we haven't reached parity in the industry in terms of funding, or even in terms of visibility in the industry at the international film festivals. And that's certainly where independent filmmakers go to have their films premiered and showcased. And that's where there are awards. I just came from Jersey Shore. I'm also a filmmaker, as most of, everyone knows through the female eyes. So I just won Best International Short Drama at Jersey Shore. And it's significant. And, you know, I was at the Big Apple and I won another award. So it's significant for independent filmmakers to be recognized at international film festivals like the Female Eye, where we receive thousands of submissions now, thousands. And we've certainly seen a growth, Donna, in terms of submissions over the last 10 years. We used to get 400 or 500 submissions. Now we get thousands of submissions. So that speaks to the fact that more people can make film with the advent of digital and cell phones and digital cameras. You know, more people can definitely make films, right? But just because you can point and shoot doesn't mean you can tell a story in a cinematic way. So I always encourage emerging and debut filmmakers, like, study the craft. You know, you don't have to go to college and university, but take some courses on screenwriting in particular. That's usually where a lot of films kind of fall short, is in this. Seeing, a lot more submissions. We're seeing more film festivals dedicated to females. We've certainly seen a growth in our audience over the last decade. There's a lot more interest in the female eye. I think because we've been voted top 50 film festivals in the world, worth the entry fee by Movie Maker magazine for probably the 13th consecutive year. And that's significant. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about bringing the Writers Lab to Canada in partnership with the Firecracker Department and TWL New York. So lots of good stuff happening.
Congratulations on your film. What's the name of it?
The Curtain.
The Curtain. Okay. And is it part of this year's festival? I don't remember seeing it.
No, I didn't put it in this year. I'm going to let it run its course. Films typically have a 2-year run in the International Film Festival circuit. So it would have been a great year to put it in terms of the programming themes, sort of thematic things that we're seeing in the programming stream, in the actual programs. But you know what? I'll save it for next year.
Okay. Now, speaking of themes, how did you come up with the different sections?
how we came up with the titles of the programs and the kind of thematic thread that runs through some of them. You know, it's really a kind of chemistry that it's just the way it comes together. Largely, it's the submissions that inform the programming. Like with any film festival, it really is the films that we get. And all of a sudden, we start to notice this year, the opening feature film program at TIFF at 7 p.m. on the 18th starts with a bunch of shorts, I think five shorts. The program title is Mothers and Such, because leading into the gala feature, Katie's Mom, is about a mother-daughter relationship. It's kind of a riff off The Graduate. It's brilliant. But then all of the short films leading up to it also relate to mother-daughter. There's a definite thematic thread in that program. So I came up with the title Mothers and Such because I felt it reflected the nature of the program. And then we started seeing a lot of films, really great shorts coming to us that dealt with issues of mental health, you know, different types of mental health. So On the Fringe, it's shorts leading up to a feature film that was directed, not directed by, but it portrays a young woman who's schizophrenic. And you really have a real interesting perspective, a real interesting lens on a young woman who suffers from schizophrenia and the challenges that she faces and her family face on a regular. That's Just Hear Me Out. And the short leading up to it, Three Easy Steps, White Noise, Discordia, Repeat and Reverse, It Will Pass. I mean, this is one of my favorite programs. I mean, they're all my favorite programs, but On the Fringe is a really rich program of films that tackle subjects that you probably won't see on the mainstream, in the mainstream theater. So we kind of, you know, the late night thrills and chills is late night thrills and chills. There's a lot of women working in the horror genre. It's shorts, international shorts. And then on Saturday, it's a feature film, Insomnium from LA, with a short in front of it, Yellowstone. So yeah, we're just kind of hanging out and we curate programs that work together. The films kind of are curated to work within the context of a big program. And that's the way we've always curated films. Even with the features, we do it an old fashioned way. We always put a short experimental or an animated film in front of a feature. It's kind of like going to a drive-in movie, I guess, where you see.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when you did have a short film before the feature. And, you know, right. they stopped doing that. And it's a shame because there were a lot of NFB shorts, like The Cat Came Back, that everybody just loved. So there was always a short before a feature. So I like that you're doing that as well. And I just want to get back to the late night thrills and chills, because there's a short film called Olga's Eyes, which is about an aging vampire. And I just thought,
yeah,
it's like, what? Great? Yeah, what a clever script, because I've never seen that before.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, women tend to, that's the interesting thing about the female eye. You know, women tend to kind of portray women of all ages, but they usually have a female at the center of the story, a female protagonist, that's for sure. And also, you know, nothing's gratuitous, even when it's violent. Well, maybe a few of the late night thrills and chills, but it has a purpose. Like, I guess that's what I'm saying when it comes to sex and violence in particular, and just riffing a unique way on an old story. Yeah, like Olga's Eyes, about an aging vampire. It's great.
Yeah. Now, of course, you have an Ontario filmmaker series that's kicking things off at the Paradise on the 18th, starts at 10 a.m. with some shorts there, and an interesting mix of films in that section. So it's obvious that you wanted some things from Ontario, which is why you have that section. But what are some of the things that made you group this together in terms of the title, Ontario Films? Were you primarily looking at Ontario filmmakers? Were you looking at different areas of Ontario? What were you looking for in that? Or what came together to form that program?
You know, the films, really, really, it was the films that came together to form that program. And they are really eclectic. It's a really eclectic program of shorts, but they work together. They work. It works beautifully as a program. It's a really nice ride that culminates in a dance film by Karen Kaja, who's a pretty well, I mean, renowned Ontario-based modern dancer. When I was a modern dancer before. Yeah, before
Kaja
I started
dance.
Working
yeah.
in film. So she's been around a long time. Yeah, and that's beautiful. There is a little bit of a, you know, there's a few films that have a bit of a, well, they're all from a female perspective. One is about, you know, an aging woman, Lisa Cockrett's film Treat Day, and it's about a woman whose memory is stimulated by a song that had tremendous meaning for her. So, you know, it's beautiful. It's about a woman suffering from Alzheimer's, and it's a song that triggers her memory. And Liz's film, Whitmere, you know, Cold, is really interesting, about a woman going through a change physiologically. And it's very kind of spooky and compelling in its own right. And Sarah deals with distress, taking refuge in a bar. I mean, they're women. A woman is at the core of each one of these stories, at the center of each one of these stories, but they all kind of deal with different issues, different themes. And it's about a mother, you know, whose daughter is to be circumcised. And she decides not to do it. She decides to break with tradition and not have her daughter go through that procedure. And the complications with the aunties who don't agree with the mother. It's just a really rich program. I don't know why. It just kind of hung together really well. Mum by Kate Campbell. She's a repeat offender at the Female Eye. We've shown pretty much every one of her short films. It's just a fun ride. And it's nice to pay tribute to our, you know, our local directors.
There's a film in the international section, Fight of Our Lives, called Rebeladas, Rebelled. And that's an interesting one to me because it looks at sort of the history of, you know, female filmmakers and also the issue of violence against women in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really very important film, actually. Both Rebeldes and the short before it, Hemorrhage, because it's about a young woman who must travel from Georgia to Virginia to get an abortion and what happens on the way across state, where they have to make a critical decision, her and her partner, about whether to head back and face persecution. It's a really interesting film. But that particular program, is called Fight of Our Lives because it's about a fight that, you know, it is about the fight and the fight for their rights and for sovereignty over their bodies and their choices. And it reflects our time. So we always try with the documentaries. We get so many documentaries, honestly. We could start a female eye doc program, and we might do that because we have documentary film festivals. So we select the documentaries very, very, it's a very selective process.
I'm a fan of Nordic films. So the film Sister, What Grows Where Land Is Sick is set in a northern Norway town. And can you tell me about that film, please?
That is such a crazy film. three of us I think that watched it, and what's so beautiful about it isn't just the landscape, because it really is a beautiful world that we enter, but it's a relationship. Anyone who's had a sister, we can relate to this sister relationship from the younger sister's perspective. You know, her older sister is, you know, a teen. And she's a bit of a rebellious character, kind of coming of age. and the younger sister is privy to her diary, and not just through the diary, but she ends up on a road trip with her sister, older sister, and she sees things that are unexpected, and a perspective on her sister is forever changed. And it's a beautiful story. Really well done film. Chicken Girl is just, before it is just crazy.
You read the description for that too.
Yeah. It's so bizarre, so brilliant. You wouldn't believe it. It is just so great looking too. Like, honestly, the production value in that short film, Chicken Girl, that plays the short that's before the Swedish film is, the
Norwegian
film is really, really great.
And there are lots of films that we can talk about, but there are comedies as well that people should expect as part of this program. And Leslie Ann, how much are tickets?
Okay, so the tickets at the Paradise are $15 on Eventbrite. You can just buy the ticket on our website. And the tickets for TIFF are $20. But you get a really good program, like a robust 2-hour program of films. So it's $20 for a program at TIFF, or you can get a Flex Pass for $85. And that $85, you can get into 5 different programs, not just films. It could be 2 film programs. It could be the masterclass, or rather not the masterclass. That's not through TIFF. Or it could be the Maverick tribute. So it's a great way to save $20 or $25 and see 5 films over the course of the 4 days.
Leslie Ann, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about these films and the initiatives that are happening, and continued success with the festival. And I will talk to you again next year, if not before, because I'm curious about your film. So keep that in mind.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah. Great. For people who are wondering, the website is thefemaleeyefilmfestival.com. That's thefemaleeyefilmfestival.com. Reminder, it runs July 18th to the 21st. So Leslie Ann, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, really great speaking with you. Always enjoy it.
Thank you. You're listening to The More the Merrier with Donna G on CIUT 89.5 FM.